You know, some time ago, I gave someone some really good advice. I'm not bragging on myself, but I must say it was very good advice that I gave, and it showed a lot of wisdom. I told this person, because of her age, that she had no business riding down the banister stair into her basement. She just loved to sit on that stair banister and just slide down and go whee and down and jump off. But I told her it was going to get her one day, and sure enough, it did get Judith, and and she fell in her basement and broke her hip and has been out. And so it's good to see Judith back with us today. Judith, have you learned your lesson not to slide down the banister rail anymore? Okay, all right. Just making sure you learned that lesson, okay? All right. It is good to see you back, dear. God bless you. All right. Today, I want us to turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. We ought to be able to find that one, right? It's in the right in the front of the book. That one ought to be easy to find. The passage I'm going to be using is one that's kind of obscure. We don't talk about it much, but I do think there's some great lessons to learn in our sermon that's titled Walking Home. I, for as long as I can remember, way back into my childhood, have always enjoyed taking long walks through the countryside. The more remote it is, the more that I enjoy it. The fewer people that I run into, the better. I just like the wilderness. And I can just become lost in my thoughts and just enjoy looking at the menagerie of God's creation. When I was a boy, at the end of the school day, I remember at South Knoll Elementary in College Station, Texas, that our teacher would line us up in three lines, divide us into three groups. And those three lines had names. There were the bussers, those who rode the bus home. I wasn't a busser. I could have, but I didn't want to. And there were the riders, those that had parents or friend or somebody that would pick them up out front in the circle drive in front of the elementary school. And then there was the third group, which I was a proud member of, and that was the walkers. Now, these were the kids that either rode their bicycles or walked home. And I had the option of being a busser. I didn't want to do it. I wanted to be a walker. Sometimes I rode my bike, but the gravel roads were something I just preferred to walk down. And I loved walking home and just being fascinated by nature and the little things that I would see through the pastures and the fields and the woods as I walked home. Well, in Genesis chapter 5, in the middle of this long genealogical list, a list that most of us, when we read, our eyes tend to glass over and we want to get past. Right in the middle of that list of genealogies, we find in verses 21 through 24, another guy who was in the line of the walkers. He was a man who one day walked home. Let's look in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, as we ignore the air compressor for the sprinkler system. And let's look and see what the Bible has to say for us. Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And here's where we see that Enoch was a walker. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 24 says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The Bible is just very clearly telling us that Enoch walked with God every day until one day that God just took him up into heaven. You could really literally say that Enoch walked to his ultimate home. Now, as followers of Christ, we are to be in the line with the walkers. We're not to be in the busers or the riders line. We're to be in line with the walkers. But here is the question that gets put before us that we're going to see in these simple verses from about Enoch here in Genesis 5 and what the New Testament reveals about Enoch. We're going to see how that we become a walker, someone who walks with God, and what that means. You know, Enoch lived in an ancient world, right? We live in a modern world. But understand this, that while there may be millennia difference in the times really aren't that different. And the God whom we walk with is exactly the same God that Enoch walked with. So let's look at some truths here about Enoch, the man who walked home, and what it says to us. The first thing that we notice about Enoch and his walk with God is that Enoch stood out. Enoch, as a man of his time, was different from most of his peers of that day. You know, the Apostle Peter told us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 that we are a chosen generation in Christ, and that we are to be a peculiar, an unusual, a different type of people. Now, let's look and see how Enoch's life was different. Well, before we get into how he was different, let's step back and look at the conditions of his day. If you read along in the genealogy list here and through Genesis, you'll find that Enoch was the great-grandfather of Noah. Now, we do know something about the days of Noah, right? In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible says, Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent and of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. So just a few generations after Enoch, all people thought about was doing things that were evil. So even if the generation of Enoch was somewhat better than the generation of his great-grandson, Noah, we know that we can pretty much infer that Enoch lived in a time that was not very righteous or very moral. Going the other way in Enoch's genealogy, you'll see that Enoch is number 7 in the lineage of Seth, one of Adam's sons. Adam had another son, Cain. Remember the first murderer? Number 7 in the lineage of the line of Cain was Enoch's first cousin, a man named Lamech. This is the same guy who, back in Genesis chapter 4, sings a little ditty, a little song, bragging to his two wives about a murder he had committed. Lamech, first cousin of Enoch, the Bible tells us was a violent and arrogant man who showed no fear of God whatsoever. Yet this is not so with Enoch. We see that Enoch was a drastically different kind of man. So during the time of Enoch, he was living in a world where men were waxing, were growing more and more worse by the moment. Men were speeding headlong towards the judgment of God. But what was Enoch doing? He was faithfully walking closer and closer toward the city of God. Now, Enoch's difference from those around him tells us something as followers of Christ today. Are you really different from those who are not following Christ? We live in a dark world. Are you a light in that darkness? Or is the way that you are living just adding to the darkness? Are you in this world but not of this world? Or are you in this world and there's really no difference between you and the world around you? We are living in a day filled with modern day Cains and Lamechs. Were you absolutely horrified, shocked to the core, when in the United States of America, infanticide, the killing of babies, just recently became legal? If abortion wasn't horrible enough, did that even shock you now that we've gone down the last step? If that didn't shake you to your core, wake up, people!
Amen.
You're not living any different than the world around you. There are things that ought to make us go, oh dear me, I will not live in that manner. Quit wearing the camouflage of the sinful culture that is around us. Be distinguishable. Be like Enoch. He stood out. And the reason that Enoch stood out was because his life had direction. While most of the world in the day of Enoch was going in the way of Cain and Lamech, doing their own thing, Enoch was walking against the current of the stream. I want you to think about this idea of walking with God. Think about the motivation for this walk. I want you to look again in Genesis 5 and verse 22. Look real closely, and you will see the motivation for the walk of Enoch. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. Well, in verse 21, the Bible says that Enoch lived 65 years before Methuselah was born. And then in verse 22, it was after he had a child, a son, that Enoch began to walk with God. Now, here's the question. Why do you suppose that is? I think there's a twofold reason that he was motivated to begin walking with God. He looked at his son, his newborn baby, and he said, no, I've got to be a better example for him than what I've been. But also at that time, it becomes kind of clear, if you understand what the name Methuselah means, that Enoch, at some point here, about the time of the birth of his son, had received a revelation from God that judgment was coming. Because the name Methuselah in Hebrew means, when he dies, it shall come. That's what it means. How's that? How would you like to give your son the name? When he dies, it shall come. If you work out the years in the genealogies, you will see that the year in which Methuselah died, and Methuselah lived longer than anybody, 969 years, when he dies in that same year is when the great flood of Noah begins. I can't prove it from Scripture, but I believe the moment that Enoch breathed his last breath, the first raindrop went splat. I do. I can't prove that, but I can show you that in the year that he died was in the year the flood began. God had revealed to Enoch that judgment was coming. And Enoch said, I've got to change my life and start walking in the right direction. Are you going the same direction as your Lord Jesus? You know, so often we want God to join us in our endeavors. We tell God, God, I'm going to walk this way. And God, why don't you come along with me? I remember 30 years ago, the bumper stickers were everywhere. God is my co-pilot. And I wanted to cringe. Nope. He's not your co-pilot. Nope. Where do you belong? You belong in the back seat. Maybe even the trunk. But God's the one that takes the wheel. And you go where he wants you to go. Well, that's what Enoch did. He didn't say, God, I want to go this way and hopefully you'll come with me. No, he said, God, I'm behind you. I'm walking with you, but you are in front of me. So remember that. The first step in walking with God is to stand out like Enoch stood out. To go against the culture. To go with God, behind God, rather than against God. Here's the second thing that Enoch did. Enoch spoke out. Now, you go, wait a minute. I'm reading this passage here, Pastor, in Genesis 5, and there are no words from Enoch recorded there. And I go, you're absolutely right. But you know what? The Holy Spirit has done some amazing things for us. And one of those is that he has given us not only the Old Testament, but he has given us the New Testament. And in the New Testament, inspired by the Holy Spirit, we get some clues, more insight into this man, Enoch. And so when we shine the light of the testimony of the New Testament upon what we see here in Genesis, we will see that Enoch spoke out in this world. You see, there are some words from his lips. The next to last book in your Bible. It's a little short letter written by the half-brother of Jesus named Jude. It's only got 25 verses in it. It's just tucked in right there between 3 John and the Revelation. But in those 25 verses, the Holy Spirit tells us something. Reveals to us a new truth. In verses 14 and 15 of Jude. And here's what it says there. It was also about these men that Enoch, in the 7th generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds which they have done in an ungodly way. And of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. The Holy Spirit reveals to the half-brother of Jesus, Jude, that old Enoch was a preacher. And he preached to the men of his day that God's judgment upon their sin was coming and that they'd better repent and turn to the Lord and stop rebelling against him. Enoch reminds us that when you are going to walk with God, whether people want to hear it or not, that we must be faithful to warn them that hell is hot and heaven is real. And God does not want anybody to go to hell. But if they continue to follow their sin without coming to Jesus Christ, they will enter into hell. People don't like that kind of preaching. They don't like that kind of witness. But yet, if you're going to walk with the Lord, you're going to have to love people enough to tell them the truth. However, we must remember that God's people throughout the centuries have always spoken out to their world. From Enoch's day through the days of the apostles to our day. Remember in Acts chapter 4. Well, the chapter before that, in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they're going to the temple to pray one day. This is after Jesus has ascended and the day of Pentecost has come. And they're going along the path to the temple, and there was the man who had been born crippled, and he was there, and he's begging for money. And Peter looks at him and says, "You know, I don't have any silver or gold, but what I do have, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." And the man is healed, and he stands up. Well, it causes quite a stir around Jerusalem. And so the Sanhedrin, the religious council, those self-righteous folks, they grab Peter and John and they bring them into a court and they go, "What right do you have to do this?" And Peter just says, "We did it by the power of Jesus. You know that guy you murdered? God has made him both Lord and Christ." Just read it. It's there. Well, they don't know what to do, and they're afraid of the other folks in the crowd that had seen this man get healed. It was obvious they couldn't deny that a miracle had happened. And so they just tell Peter and John, "We're going to release you, but don't you dare speak, teach, or preach about this man, Jesus, anymore." And Peter says to them in Acts 4:20, "Hey, we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. If Jesus Christ has changed your life, and if you're going to walk with him, then you're going to tell others what you've seen and heard about Jesus, what he's done for you." That's all that Enoch was doing as he walked with the Lord. And because of that, we have the witness from his life. When we look again in the New Testament, this time in Hebrews chapter 11, there we find what is often called Faith's Hall of Fame from the Old Testament. And there we find in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 5, that Enoch joins with his martyred uncle Abel in Faith's Hall of Fame. In Hebrews 11, 5, the Bible says, "By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God." Now note the last part of that verse. It says, "Before Enoch left this world, he had a witness among men that he pleased God." You see, the day in which Enoch lived, those folks, they didn't just hear the sermon that Enoch preached. They also saw the kind of life that he lived. He pointed them to the Lord with his fiery prophecy. But he also showed them the Lord through his faithful practice. They knew that Enoch pleased God. So that brings us again to the challenge. If we are going to walk with God, what is our testimony? If God took you out of this world today, what will people be saying about you tomorrow? I guarantee you, when Enoch went missing, the men of his day probably said something like, "Say what you want about old Enoch. God surely loved him, and he loved God, and he pleased God." You know, at the 1978 funeral of former Vice President Hubert Horatio Humphrey, President Carter, who was in office at the time, delivered a eulogy for Vice President Humphrey. And at the end of Carter's speech came one of the most profound and fitting slip of the tongues, Freudian slips, in American history. Carter ended his eulogy with these words about Hubert Humphrey. He said, "In closing, he was one of our nation's greatest leaders, Hubert Horatio Hornblower." A politician who blew his own horn. Enoch wasn't a horn blower. He lived his life for the praise of the Lord. And that's what we need to do. And let's look at the third thing. So, Enoch stood out. And then Enoch spoke out. And because of that, this is the cool part. Enoch stepped out, didn't he? Look again in Genesis 5. So, all the days of Enoch in verse 23. For 365 years. Now, we go, whoo, that sounds like a lot. But if you look at the lifespans of the people in the days of Enoch, that was about half as long. His life was cut way short. Well, verse 24 of Genesis 5 explains to us why his days on earth were shorter than his contemporaries. It says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You see, since Enoch didn't live like the rest, he didn't die like the rest either. In fact, the Bible tells us he didn't die at all. As best we can tell, he is the one of only two people in this world that didn't leave this world by way of the grave. We are simply told God took him. The Bible gives us an explanation of Enoch's exit from this world. Verse 24 just simply says, "And he was not, for God took him." That's from the New American Standard Bible. The Holman Christian Standard Bible renders it this way. "He was not there because God took him." Literally, one moment, Enoch was in this world, and the next moment, Enoch was out of this world. God literally just snatched him. I already read the verse from Hebrews chapter 11. But we're told that he was taken up, which simply means in the Greek to be carried to another place. So putting Genesis and Hebrews together, we can figure it out that one day Enoch and God walking together, God just picked Enoch up and snatched him out of this world into the next one. I don't know what that looked like. I don't know how long it took. I don't know what it was like for Enoch to take that trip. But that is the explanation that the Bible gives us. The great preacher of a day long gone ago, long gone by, G. Campbell Morgan, told a story about a little girl who came home from her Sunday school class and tried to explain this translation of Enoch from this world to the world to come to her mother. And here's how the little girl said it in G. Campbell Morgan's sermon. The little girl said, "One day Enoch and God took an extra long walk. They walked on and on until God said to Enoch, 'You are closer to my house than you are yours. Why don't you just come stay at my house?' And Enoch went." The Bible just simply tells us in Hebrews 11 that he was not found. That means they looked for him, but they couldn't find him. So I think the little girl had it right. If they just walked so far together that God finally said, "You know what? You're a lot closer to my house than yours. Just come on home." That's the explanation we're given for Enoch's exit. What does that mean for you and me? There is the example for us from Enoch's exit. The only other person close to this in the Bible that exited the world this way is the prophet Elijah. You can look up this in 2 Kings chapter 2, where we're told that God just sent this fiery chariot on a whirlwind down, and Elijah stepped in and he was whisked away. So in the past, Enoch and Elijah, the only two that never tasted death. But they were forerunners of a lot more people who one day will not taste death either. The Bible tells us when we turn over into the New Testament that there's a foreshadowing in Enoch that gives hope for many. Because there's going to be some more folks that are going to leave the world without tasting physical death. And that'll be on the day when Jesus comes back. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, here's what the Apostle Paul wrote. He said, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." And then notice, "Then we who are alive," haven't died, "and remain until Jesus comes back, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord." I hope you heard that part about being caught up. It's the same terms used in Hebrews 11 for the snatching away of Enoch. The truth is that when King Jesus returns one day, as he promised he would, if that happens while you are still alive, you're not going to go to the grave. Those who are asleep in Christ, those bodies will come up out of the ground in glorified, resurrected, perfect bodies, reunited with soul, because the Bible also teaches that when the Lord comes, that he's bringing those saints with him, and their bodies and souls are reunited in the air. But those of us who may be still alive when that happens and remain, our bodies will just be instantly changed into eternal perfection. And so we shall always be with the Lord. I hope that day comes while I'm still alive. Amen. How cool that would be. It's all right if the Lord takes me into the ground, into the grave. That's all right. Because that ain't me. I'll be with the Lord. There's a lot of people who have never taken an airplane ride. But a lot of those folks who have never taken an airplane ride will one day take a plane air ride. All right. But as I get to the end of this, towards the end of this message, I want to give you something to think about. How long did Enoch walk on this earth? How long did he live? 365, right? Do you realize that for most of Enoch's life, Adam, the first man, was still alive? In fact, Adam died 57 years before Enoch was taken at age 365. So don't you think Enoch and Adam had some conversations? The world's population wasn't that big. Has this ever crossed your mind? Enoch and Adam knew each other. Great, 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 great grandpa. Did I get seven of them in there? Anyway. So, what does the Bible say about Adam? That he walked with God in the Garden of Eden. So can't you just imagine this conversation? Where Enoch goes and says, "Great granddaddy, what was it like to walk with God in the Garden of Eden before you and Eve ate us out of house and home? What was it like?" And can't you just picture Adam's, get a wistful, distant look in his eye, and he says, "Oh, my boy, it was glorious. There was all the fruit, the food, and we didn't have to work for it. The river was crystal clear, the flowers, the balmy breezes, the animals were our friends. But wait a minute, boy, I don't want to mislead you. The greatest thing about paradise was walking with God." God would come down every day into the garden, and I'd walk with him. My God and I, we'd walk those fields together. I'd take God by the hand, and we'd go up to a mountain and watch the sunrise or a sunset, and we'd see all the grandeur of what God had made. But the best part of it was we would just enjoy each other. He loved me, and I loved him. And then the tears in his eyes, I can just picture Adam going, "Enoch, to walk with God, that was paradise." And I think maybe that after talking with Adam, this is all speculation, but I suppose after talking with Adam that Enoch probably came to the realization that he doesn't need paradise on earth to walk with God. You just need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Trust in him. What about you? Are you walking with God? You can. Because the day came where God again came to earth and walked among men. We call him Jesus. In Enoch, we find a man walking with God. In Jesus, we find God walking with man. And Jesus went to that cross because the very sins that separate us from God are forgiven, washed away in his blood. And Jesus rose from the grave and ascended back to heaven. But God, through Christ, has sent his Spirit to live inside us, those who have put our faith in Jesus. And so God is with us always. The question is, do we walk with him? With that in mind, I challenge you. Get in the line of the walkers and keep walking till you get home. Let's pray. Father, help us to be a walker, following you home. Bless this time of invitation. Lord, there might be some that need to take that first step on that journey to walk and come in faith to Jesus. God, there are others, Lord, that have walked with you in the past but have started walking in their own way. God, that today they would return to you and begin following you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.